This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Here's Joe McKinnon.
Good morning, everyone. Nice to have your company early on this Sunday for Talking Horses. Much to discuss on this week's show as spring racing goes into top gear in both Sydney and Melbourne. Group 1 racing at Randwick and Flemington yesterday with the story of the day belonging to King's Will Dream, the winner of the Turnbull Stakes. On Cox Plate Day last year, the horse broke his pelvis. A year later, and after wonderful care and expert attention from the team at the Ballarat Vet Clinic, he's back and winning at the top level. Naturally, there are emotional scenes from his connections at headquarters yesterday. And in Sydney, we saw the Kiwis dominate, and Waikato's stallion Ocean Park got his first Group 1 winner, Colding, in the Epsom Handicap. Later on the show, Waikato's Mark Chittick will join us. And in New Zealand, Melody Bell continued on her winning ways, collecting the Triple Crown, the first horse in history to do it. We'll chat with David Ellis from Tiako this morning. Also coming up, what a turn of events for Three Bridges this week. They lost their star broodmare, DeLargo Mist, and then their fortunes completely turned around with Hortbury on her winning the Group 2 Blazer Stakes. Peter Liston will be a special guest this morning. Plus, Seamus Mills joins us for Insider Insights. A lot on the agenda for that. But first, to some stallion news this week. Significant news in Australian breeding this week with Aquas Farm confirming they've acquired a controlling interest in the Group 1 All-Age Stakes winner and the Everest favourite Pierata. He's going to stand the 2020 stunt season at Aquas Farm in the Hunter Valley. The CEO of Aquas, Shane McGrath, joins us this morning on Talking Horses. How are you, Shane?
Morning, Joe. How are you?
This is good news for the roster.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's a horse we've obviously had a fair interest in for quite a while. Negotiations have been ongoing, and thankfully on Thursday we were able to secure a deal that seems done with us next season, and will be part of his racing career going forward. So it's incredibly exciting, and it's a horse that we really had targeted for quite some time. He's by unbeaten Triple Crown winning 2-year-old out of a Flying Spur mare, so he's out of a Champion Broodmare sire. He's got the pedigree, he's got the performance, he's a Group 1 winner. He's effective on top of the ground, he's effective on rain-affected ground. He just seems to be bomb-proof, and I suppose that's reflective of his position in the Everest market. And even back as a 4-year-old, he's had two sensational starts. He's run unbelievable time at Randwick in his first start, and then he obviously cemented his favouritism last week. So it's incredibly exciting, and you know, it's a real boost for Aquas, and it takes us to the next level. And I suppose it justifies the investment we're making to be able to acquire stallions like him for not only ourselves, but our breeders and our partners.
Mm. The timing of the announcement couldn't have been better, really, given the form that he's been in and what lies ahead for him. And his time form rating, Shane, at the moment of 126 is the highest mark of any horse currently racing in Australia.
That's right. And I mean, time form is the benchmark worldwide. And I think Australian breeders and racing people are getting more and more accustomed to the use of a rating like that. And at 126, it's an incredibly high rating. And hopefully, speaking with Greg and the team, there's more improvement to come with them. So, you know, Greg is going to have him peaking Everest Day, so if we can hit a peak performance there, I think it gives him a massive chance. And the Everest is, it's a race that's on everyone's lips here in New South Wales. And I guess when you think about stallion making races, you think about the Golden Slipper and you think about the Caulfield Guineas and the Golden Rose. And, you know, the fact that we've secured this horse for stud duties on the eve of the Everest probably justifies the investment that Peter Belandis and his team have made into the Everest.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, with the Everest being his main focus, there's also been some suggestion, Shane, that there might be some racing plans internationally. Where are things at with that sort of thought process?
So I know it's a cliche, but it's every race at its time. But he is a relatively likely race. He's an incredibly sound horse. Greg's got him in a great spot at the moment. And, you know, there's plenty of opportunities, obviously here in Australia, but from an international point of view, we've obviously we've got obviously the boss is based in Hong Kong. There's some fabulous international races there. We were part of the Dubai racing scene with Brave Smash earlier in the year, and you know, I suppose Royal Ascot's the pinnacle for international racing. So there's definitely those opportunities, provided the horse tells us he wants to go there. And you know, if you can open up an international career for the horse, you know, it might open up international stallion dual prospect as well. So it's all in the air at the moment. Greg and Adam Carney, who's the managing owner, they've been incredible to deal with, and we're really looking forward to being part of the great Australian racing story too. The original owners are all still involved, obviously, and to join them for the ride now for the rest of his career, it's something to look forward to, and let's hope it keeps rolling on in the right direction.
It's fair to say that he's one of the hottest sire prospects to retire to the Hunter in some years. He'll stand at your Murundi base?
Yeah, definitely he'll stand in the Hunter Valley there. I mean, as I said earlier, his sire, Piero, he's definitely the young sire on the rise here. And I think to be standing his fastest and his best highly credentialed son at stud for us in 2020, he's a stallion who could stand on any roster. You know, we've made significant investment in our broodmare portfolio over the last few years as well. And predominantly the theory behind our broodmares is they generally go to our own stallions. So to have a stallion of his elk joining the roster will definitely make mating plans a lot easier for us.
This week, Shane, on the 7:30 report on the ABC, there was a piece about the water shortage, or in fact, Murundi has actually run out of water. And I wondered, how is that impacting, if at all, on the farm side of things for you guys?
Yeah, look, it's incredibly tough. I'm actually, I was there last Friday morning looking at all the yearlings, and it's, you know, for the township itself, to have a town that actually ran out of water, you'd think in this day and age it's almost unheard of. And our local council at the moment, they're putting in a water pipeline from Lake Glenbone through to Murundi, and they're getting about 600 metres a day put in, so they're hoping to have it in by Christmas, and that would provide the township itself with some relief. For us personally, on our property, we've nearly 6,000 acres. It's a dry farm, we don't irrigate, but we've enough dam water for stock and domestic, so we're able to keep things going, but it obviously the huge cost. I mean, feed bills are gone through the roof. The amount of hay horses are consuming. It's a significant impact, not just for us, but for all the local farming community. As you know, we opened a farm in Victoria earlier in the year. That's been a godsend for us. Really, we've been able to rotate stock between not only it and our Canunga farm. So I guess, in a drought, we're in a fortunate position to have those facilities available to us. But it's tough, and it's hard to keep morale going when you see how desolate it is around there. But hopefully, you know, in a drought, you're one day closer to rain, and that's what you just got to keep thinking about and try and stay positive, really.
Well, they do break it. It's just a matter of when and hanging in there, but it's certainly having its impact on the thoroughbred industry right across certain parts of Australia. Now, to some international sales news, Shane, and the 2019 Gough Sorby yearling sale is underway in Ireland, with three youngsters there selling for in excess of €1 million so far, including a Galileo filly, Shane, secured by yourselves and Phoenix Thoroughbreds.
Yeah, so we've in the last 12 months we've had recruited Dr. Demi O'Byrne as our international bloodstock consultant. So he works with me here in Australia and also internationally. And we've been doing a lot of business, obviously, with Phoenix as well. They're involved with the stallions. They've got some mares on the property, and we're racing a number of 2-year-olds with them. And we both hit on the same filly, Galileo, big pedigree. She's a sister to a Derby winner, and but Galileo isn't getting any younger. His arguably the best sire we've ever seen worldwide in terms of as a sire and as a broodmare sire, and we just thought these opportunities aren't going to come around too often, and it just made sense that we when we both identified her as the filly to have, we're happy to go into partnership. She will she'll remain in Europe, and hopefully she can start a little blue hen filly's portfolio for the Fung family. Similarly, we've invested in some colts both at Goffs. We'll have a look at Tattersalls, and we've bought a couple of horses in America. I tried to identify potential stallion prospects with pedigrees by proven sires, and gives us an opportunity to develop some international partnerships and create some relationships going forward that sort of marries in with our vision and our drive to really sort of get involved internationally, albeit at a much smaller level than what we're doing here in Australia at the moment.
Yeah. And how are things going at the Canungra base, Shane?
Yeah, that's really well. Casey Fogden, as you know, she's taken out her training licence there, and she's having a great run at the moment. She's training winners. She's had a couple of trial winners there, and she's got quite a few young horses about to appear as well. So that's been nice, because Casey was actually one of our first ever employees, and she's worked through the system. She's overseen the preparations of all the young horses that have come through the Aquis Racing division so far. So she was ready, and she's keen to take the next step, and is very much in the fledgling stage of her training career. But all the indicators are that she's going to make quite a success of it. And you know, Tony Fung is keen to reward her loyalty and support her, and give her every opportunity. And that's been a really encouraging part of the Canungra process. Obviously, the stallions have been really well received up there, and Spill the Beans has got his first crop running, so that's a significant milestone for Aquis, that our first foundation stallion really that's got his first crop of 2-year-old runners. So it just shows how quickly things progress in this wonderful industry we're in.
And Brave Smash retired to stud at the Hunter Valley. There's been plenty of buzz around about him and how he's let down into a stallion.
Yeah, good-looking horse. He's got some great partners behind him. Obviously, we raced him the latter part of his career with Australian Bloodstock, and didn't quite have the luck that that you might have hoped for. But he's retired there. He's standing at 20,000 plus GST. He's got a full book of mares. He's getting good results with the early scanning as well. So the indicators are he's adapted to life as a stallion with aplomb, really. And as I said, we'll support him quite heavily with 35 of our own brood mares, and between himself and his ownership group, he'll get every opportunity. And it's funny, I suppose he's that year older as well, so he probably has that more let down physical appearance. A lot of breeders were really taken by him when they saw him. You know, it's a busy month in August there for stallion farms with breeders and prospective breeders coming through to see the stallions. So it's been great. He's been well received, and like, the reality is it's a big investment when you take on these stallions, and no one knows it more than us between what we've done then in Victoria and indeed in Canungra. So you need that support to give it a confidence to keep going, and you know, that sort of gives you the confidence to step in and get involved with a horse like Pierrata as well.
All the best of luck with Pierrata in the Everest. Look forward to seeing how he runs.
Thanks, Joe. Have a great Sunday.
That's Shane McGrath, the CEO of Aquis, joining us with plenty of news to discuss this morning.
The results that matter. The Talking Horses Racing Run-Through.
Racing at Flemington yesterday, and we opened the program with the Maribyrnong trial at listed level over 1,000 metres for the two-year-olds. The winner was Mildred, who we spoke about on the show recently. Trained by Graham Begg, this filly is by Hinchinbrook out of Statue of Liberty mare Tempest Tossed. Mildred was purchased for just $45,000 at the 2019 Inglis Classic Yearling Sale. Race 2 at Flemington yesterday was the Paris Lane Stakes, a listed affair over 1,400 metres, won by Sean Mathrick's Rich Itch, a 4-year-old gelding by Dane Rich out of a Keltrice mare 7-year Itch. Rich Itch is related to winners Punt Club, Scratchy Lass and 7-year Reward. Race 3 at listed level was the Poseidon Stakes over 1,100 metres. The winner was Tariff, a 3-year-old filly by Lonro out of an Exceed and Excel mare, Soltar. This horse is related to winners Genoir, Haybar, Murahib and Tadween. The Group 2 Blazer Stakes over 1,400 metres saw Haute Brion Her win, a 4-year-old mare by Zoustar out of a Redoute's Choice mare, 1 in a Million. Haute Brion Her is raced by Three Bridges Farm and is related to winners Caracatus, Ring Darbel and Chameleon.
The listed Superimpose Stakes over 1,800 metres won by Warning, a three-year-old gelding by declaration of war out of a Galileo mare, Livia. Warning is related to a winner, Galaxy Gazer, and was purchased for $65,000 at the 2018 Magic Millions Adelaide yearling sale. The Group 2 Gilguy Stakes over 1,200 metres won stunningly by Sunlight, a four-year-old mare by Zoostar, out of a Charge Forward mare, Solar Charged. Sunlight is related to winners Shaker, Sistar and Solar Cry, and was sold for $300,000 at the 2017 Magic Millions Gold Coast yearling sale. The Group 1 Turnbull Stakes, and what a wonderful story this is. Kings Will Dream, coming back from a near-death experience a year ago to win the Group 1 feature at Flemington yesterday. He's a six-year-old gelding by Casamento out of a Rodrigo de Triano mare, Road Harbour. The Group 3 Bart Cummings over 2,520 metres won by Surprise Baby, a five-year-old gelding by Shocking out of a Karpstad mare, Beulah Baby. Surprise Baby was sold at the New Zealand Bloodstock ready-to-run sale of two-year-olds in 2016 for $35,000. The Group 2 Manifold Stakes over 1,600 metres. Moonlight Maid was the winner, trained by Mitch Friedman. Moonlight Maid is a three-year-old filly by Puissance de Lune out of a Choix Siamere Manhattan Maid, and is related to a winner, Maid Equal. And at Randwick yesterday, it was Epsom Day, and we opened the batting there with a Group 3, the Gimcrack Stakes over 1,000 metres, won by Every Rose, trained by Mark Newnham. Every Rose is a two-year-old filly by Schwa Seer out of a Show of Heart mare, Courage. Every Rose is related to winners Academy and Smart Edge, and was sold for $160,000 at this year's Magic Millions Gold Coast yearling sales. The Group 3 Arrowfield Breeders Plate over 1,000 metres. Global Quest was successful, a two-year-old colt by More Than Ready out of a Fastnet Rock mare, Global Dream. Global Quest was purchased for $340,000 at this year's Gold Coast Magic Millions sales. The next of the features was the Group 1 Dali Flight Stakes over 1,600 metres, won by Funstar, an historic first Group 1 winner for the Cox Plate winner, Adelaide. This three-year-old filly is out of a Danehill mare, Star Spangled. Funstar, related to winners Baggy Green, Brilliant Mind, 11 Seconds, Jack Strikes Back and Young Star. She was sold for $80,000 at the 2018 English Australian Easter yearling sale. The Group 2 Premier Stakes over 1,200 metres won by Brutal, a four-year-old entire by O'Reilly, out of a Golden Mare Albertan Princess. Brutal is related to winners Bascule, Talaria, Times Like These, and was sold for $220,000 at the 2017 New Zealand Bloodstock Premier yearling sales. The Group 2 Hill Stakes over 2,000 metres won by Very Elegant, a four-year-old mare by Zed, out of a Dan Road mare, Opulence. Very Elegant is related to winners Black Lace and Very Flash. And the Group 1 Epsom Handicap over the mile brought up a first Group 1 winner for Ocean Park, Colding, a four-year-old gelding out of a Dan Zero mare, Magic Star. Colding is related to winners Cavalier, Miss Upstart, Pradia, Samson, Superhero and Unique Magic. Colding was sold for $170,000 at the 2017 edition of the New Zealand Bloodstock Premier yearling sales. And the Group 1 Metropolitan over 2,400 metres won by Come Play With Me for Chris Waller. What a day for that stable. Come Play With Me is a five-year-old gelding by Blackfriars out of a Dr. Johnson mare, Russian Playmate. Come Play With Me is related to winners Black Russian and Fast As The Wind.
The Talking Horses, winner of the week.
Well into the straight now. Funstar just the leader from Probabil, who's making hard work of it. Funstar going great guns inside the 250 and opens up two lengths now on Probabil. A mile back to the rest, but Funstar full of running, and she's the star filly for the Flight Stakes. She's ripping away. Funstar wins it by three lengths to Probabil.
The Group 1 ATC Flight Stakes at Randwick yesterday brought up the first Group 1 winner for Coolmore's Cox Plate Hero, Adelaide. Trained by Chris Waller, she was dominant in winning the Group 1 feature for the three-year-old fillies in Sydney yesterday. With 4 wins and a second from 5 starts, Funstar has already won nearly $550,000 in prize money. She has many of the same young star owners involved again, including Arthur and Charlotte Inglis. She was purchased for $80,000 from the Bowness draft at the Inglis Easter sales by Anton Kuhlman Bloodstock, who also purchased her Group 1 Queensland Oaks winning half-sister, Young Star. Funstar certainly has untapped potential and appeals as a filly that will get over a lot more ground. She's a half-sister to not only Young Star, but also stakes placed 11 seconds and is from blue-blooded Danehill import Star Spangled, a daughter of champion three-year-old filly and five-time Group 1 winner User-Friendly. Star Spangled was back at Coolmore last spring and is now in foal to Piero. Funstar is the first stakes winner and first Group 1 winner for her Cox Plate winning sire Adelaide, a brilliant son of the world's best sire Galileo. Adelaide stands at the modest fee of $11,000 at Coolmore this spring and has been well supported in his first 4 seasons, covering over 400 mares.
Now on Talking Horses, Insider Insights.
Seamus, plenty on the agenda for us this morning. And firstly, one of the highlights yesterday was Waikato Studs Ocean Park getting his first Group 1 winner in the Epsom Handicap, Colding.
Yeah, he's really starting to come along now, Ocean Park. New Zealand obviously could do with a couple of stallions putting their hands up, and Ocean Park probably at the moment seems to be the one.
What was your assessment of the horse's win?
I thought he's excellent. Good friend of mine sort of put me onto him early in the season, and so I followed him pretty closely the whole way through. And I thought he was very, very good. He's a very professional horse. I think there's more wins in store for him. The Ocean Park stock seem to get better even as four-year-olds, I think there's still more in store for this horse.
And another first yesterday, Adelaide, the Cox Plate hero, of course, getting his first Group 1 winner in the ATC Flight Stakes, Funstar, trained by Chris Waller.
Yeah, Nick, obviously a very good mare, having also produced Young Star, but Adelaide also getting off the mark with a Group 1 winner. That was sort of the tale of the day yesterday with Adelaide and Ocean Park and Dundeel having a stakes winner, and Shocking, Poussin Stallone, Declaration of War, and Zed. It was a different mix to what we normally see.
And across the ditch in New Zealand, the superstar filly Melody Bell, Seamus, created 2 pieces of New Zealand racing history, and that included becoming the first horse to complete the Hawke's Bay's Await for Age Triple Crown during the New Zealand Spring Carnival. She won the Tarzino Trophy, the Windsor Park Plate, and, of course, the Livermore Classic yesterday. 8 horses had previously won 2 of the 3, so quite an achievement.
Yeah, look, 9 Group 1s now, daughter of commands. She looks to be an even better horse now. They've stretched her out to the 10 furlongs, perhaps ominously winning at 2040 metres yesterday. She could be one, perhaps, that bobs up for a Cox Plate.
Not bad for a horse that David Ellis paid only $57,500 for.
He's obviously the biggest buyer over there and spends plenty of money, but she does go to show that with an iron in the fire, you're just as much chance as somebody who spends $500,000.
And she's now rated, Seamus, an $11 chance for the Cox Plate. How do you assess her chances?
I think it's the most open Cox Plate. I went right through the betting yesterday after some interesting results just to see where it stood. Japanese Asserted Grace is, that's how you pronounce it, is current favourite. And I think a horse like Melody Bell, if she was ever to win a Cox Plate, this could be the year.
And speaking of the Cox Plate, tragedy last year in the race for King's Will Dream, who suffered a broken pelvis. And a year later, he's out at Flemington winning the Group 1 Turnbull Stakes. What an extraordinary story.
Fantastic, isn't it? Lucky enough to know a few of the owners and how special this is to them. Just a fantastic story for everybody, I suppose. And really would be a fairy tale, wouldn't it, to see that sort of result. The Cox Plate, for whatever reason, conjures up these sort of magical stories each year, and Kingswood Dream would certainly be one of those.
Yeah. And to some international news, Seamus, of course, looking forward to the running of the Arc de Triomphe in France and what will no doubt be another stunning performance by the incredible mare in Abel.
It's going to be a great race. I think Horse Topsat by Siouni can also give her a race. Not massive involvement as far as the bloodstock world goes and stones and so on, but obviously no surprise in a race like that. Some of the world's great stones, not shuttle stones, but you know, Galileo and Tabawi and these horses are represented. So you'd think the Queen and Abel, who's by Nathaniel, could really stamp herself as the best horse in the world, but there is a horse in there called Sotsas who I think can give her a little run for the money.
All right, Seamus, thanks for joining us this morning. Plenty to get through. It's a wonderful time of the year, isn't it?
Fantastic. Can't wait for next week.
All right. Look forward to having you back on the program then.
Talk soon. Thanks, Joe.
Our next guest on Talking Horses this morning is Waikato Studs Mark Chitty. Congratulations, Mark. Ocean Park getting his first Group 1 yesterday in the Epsom with Colding, a great winner.
Yeah, thank you very much, Joe. I mean, we've been sitting there waiting for it, and it's been very close on three occasions, and it was just really nice, obviously, from pick up such a time on a race like Epsom.
Yeah. Was there much expectation going into the race from your perspective on the form that you'd seen?
Well, certainly, I think, you know, Colding won the Guineas up there in Queensland. So impressively, and he's been a very, very consistent horse, and he's obviously a tough sort of a horse, and of course to have the two runners in there was an achievement in itself with the other horse that were in third as well. So to run first and third was a massive achievement, and also something that we're all very proud of, the New Zealand trifecta.
Yeah. How many seasons has Ocean Park now stood at stud?
The result is the five. At this stage, and a lot of winners, and a lot of winners in Australia, and I think with yesterday with Colding winning and Sue Stars running third, I think that gave him his eighth Group 1 performer. So he's travelling along really well.
So important, isn't it, to get that Group 1 out of the way for these stallions?
Absolutely, and he's got other chances coming up. Obviously, those two horses will carry on. I mean, Rondinella and Oceanex were both very, very good runs in the Group 2 the other night at Mooney Valley. So they'll be, I would imagine they'll be even stepping up this weekend or in the near future anyway. So plenty more opportunities to come. And as I say, he's just been so knocking on the door. But the big thing for us is that it's in these big races and he's winning these races in Australia, and consistently doing it, which is key for us.
Yeah, and his fee these days is $15,000 plus GST.
Yeah, look, we brought him down to $15,000 this year, and it's probably more sort of a bit of an indication on our local industry, and also he's a horse that he's so easy in the barn, so fertile. You know, he's just a really easy horse at the end of the day. If he ends up having a massive book, it won't be a problem to him, I can tell you. So we just sort of thought, you know, it offers breeders a good opportunity, and if I'm sure the success will continue like what we had yesterday, and we'll get a sneaker feedback up if it's warranted, but otherwise he's an easy horse to run, and it'll give him 150, 160 mares this year again.
Yeah. Any high quality mares amongst those?
Oh, certainly. Yeah, certainly there is. I mean, you know, without Broodmare Band and his family, he sort of suits us a little bit ourselves. We've got to be a bit careful with Savabeel mares with the double up of Sabeel a bit close there, but certainly some of those O'Reilly mares, and we quite like that cross back to O'Reilly because he is the same family from O'Reilly a wee way back there. But another thing that seems to be pointing out a little bit is certainly crossing him with the Dane Hill blood, which he is a bit of an outcross there. I think you know that's, which is the same sort of cross as Golding, that seems to be, a lot of the other horses that are showing plenty so far seem to have put Daniel through the pedigree.
Mark, the Kiwis were certainly to the fore yesterday at Randwick.
Yeah, they certainly were. And down there in Melbourne with Alexis, etc. But so look, we're only breeding a small amount of bulls, but we all do our best over here, and it's just great getting those results in Australia because, Australia is where we want it all to happen. And of course, we're only a small percentage of the racehorses over here, but to get the results like we did yesterday, right across Australia in those top races, it really, really is key for us to keep that interest going in New Zealand, from the other side of the ditch. And look, a whole mixture of stallions and a whole mixture of horses that have spent, more or less their whole lives over there, or not their whole lives, but, born and bred here and gone over there, and then through to horses that have gone over to race over there and trained from here. So, it was a day that we really enjoy, and hopefully there's more to come.
And on your own turf over there yesterday, what a wonderful achievement by the mare Melody Bell, creating history by becoming the first Triple Crown winner in New Zealand.
Yeah, she really is the princess of the turf over here, and it's wonderful having a highlight horse like yourself, and full credit to that whole team, the syndication arm of Tiakau and David Ellis and his racing organisation, and of course Jamie Richards. They've handled her extremely well, and I didn't get down to Hawke's Bay yesterday. I was flat out on the farm, but just seeing the crowd and just sort of feeling the vibe coming through, watching it on the day they were there to watch a superstar and be part of history, and they certainly were.
Mark, thanks for joining us on the show this morning.
Good as gold, Joe. Thank you.
That's Mark Chittick from Waikato Stud. They're celebrating the first Group 1 winner for their stallion Ocean Park yesterday in the Epsom Handicap at Randwick, Colding. She's an absolute megastar, Melody Bell, and yesterday she created New Zealand racing history, winning the Group 1 Livermore Classic at Hastings and becoming the first horse to complete the Triple Crown. David Ellis from Tiakau Racing, whose colours she carries, joins us on the program this morning. Congratulations, David.
Thank you, Joe. It was a big thrill for us all.
I bet it was. What an amazing horse she is.
Yeah, she's a filly that I bought as a yearling for $57,500 at New Zealand Bloodstock's premier sale. And she won her first start, then she won the Karaka $1 million 2-year-old race, and then she won the size produce, and then we took her to Australia and she won the size produce, I think from memory, by 3 or 4 lengths in Australia, and she hasn't stopped winning since.
And she's racked up 9 Group 1 wins along the way.
Yes, it's quite incredible. She's never had a day of soreness. She's very sound. She loves racing. And you could just see when we legged Opie Boston on yesterday, her whole demeanour changes. And she just thought to herself, gee, this is race day now. And it's quite incredible when you're up close to these horses, the really good ones, just how much they enjoy it and how competitive they get.
Mm. Well, she'd previously shared that record of Group 1 wins with Mufasa, who'd won 8 in New Zealand and another 2 in Melbourne. So she's now the all-time record holder for Group 1 wins in New Zealand. That is quite an achievement, as well as becoming, as we said at the top of our chat, the first horse in New Zealand history to win the New Zealand Triple Crown, which includes the Tarzino Trophy over 1,400 metres and, of course, the Windsor Park Plate over 1,600 metres.
Yeah, it's not that easy to have a horse that'll win from 1,400 to 2,000 metres of weight for age. But if you get a really good mare, they get an allowance from the boys, and they're very competitive. And, it's just been a great thrill for us all at Tiakau Racing. And Jamie Richards has done an incredible job training this filly. And she's owned by a syndicate that John Galvin put together. and he's giving these people the thrill of a lifetime. I think there's 30 owners in her, quite a few of them first-time owners, and they're having a thrill of a lifetime.
Mm. As you outlined, you paid just $57,500 for her. She's a daughter of Commands, David. What was it about her as a yearling that appealed to you?
Well, she was just a lovely, beautifully balanced filly, had plenty of strength, and we were just staggered that we were able to get her for what was really the reserve price. She has just done nothing wrong since the day we bought her. She was a lovely filly to break in. She's just one of these fillies that's hard to fault.
Mm. You've won many races over the years and produced some very good horses, David, but where does this filly fit in your memory bank so far?
Oh, she'd have to be one of the best horses that we've raced, that's for certain. She's just so competitive, relatively easy horse to train. And on Tuesday morning after she galloped, our stable jockey, Opie Bosson, rang me and he said, that was the best gallop I've ridden in my career. She feels the best she's ever felt. I need to retire if she can't win on Saturday.
Well, she certainly saluted. And now she's on her way to Melbourne, of course, for the Cox Plate, likely. An $11 chance she's currently rated at the moment.
Yeah, we've got Tiaki, our shark, who will be going for the Cox Plate too. So just which race Melody Bell runs in Melbourne, we haven't decided yet. We'll be having a chat with John Galvin and Jamie tomorrow, and we'll be making a decision tomorrow after that.
Well, certainly a day out for the Kiwibreds in Australia too. We've had Mark Chittick on the program this morning. They're celebrating the first Group 1 winner for Ocean Park with Colding winning the Epsom. But great results all round for the Kiwis.
Yes, well, I think it was a New Zealand bloodstock trifecta in the Epsom handicap. And it's a place where you come and buy really good horses that are, you know, for value for money.
David, thanks for joining us on the program this morning, and we'll look forward to seeing Melody Bell in Melbourne.
Pleasure, Joe.
That's David Ellis from Tiaki Racing. They have another star in their hands, Melody Bell. Look forward to seeing her during the spring in Melbourne. Hawtbury on her really illustrated how fortunes can quickly turn around in this game of horse racing. Three Bridges Farm, they lost their star mare, DeLago Mist, during the week, but everything turned around for the better yesterday at Flemington with Hawtbury on her, a horse they bred and have a significant share in winning the Group 2 Blazer Stakes. And Peter Liston joins us on Talking Horses this morning. Congratulations, Peter. Well done.
Thanks very much, Joe.
It caps off a week of highs and lows for you.
Yeah, 24 hours that you were crying 1 minute and laughing the next. So, but you all know in the horse game, that's how it rolls. So you've got to roll with the punches and hope you get more good ones than bad ones.
Yeah. What happened with DeLago Mist, Peter?
She's had a complication in foaling, and she had a lovely Russian Revolution colt. And then we knew there was something wrong, so we rushed her to Shepparton Hospital. And then I just dropped her off and come home. And then on the way home, Toby rang me and said that they had to put her down. So it was a very sad day for the farm. We actually sold her as a weanling when we had Lakewood Stud. And a very good friend and owner, Peter Catalanis, actually owns the mare. But we always say to Peter that mare's never ever leaving our farm. And Pete was always great, and he left. Always left her here with us and all his other mares as well. So we're very grateful for Peter. But it's one of those horses, even though we bred it, we still always thought we owned it. And the whole family loved it and the whole farm loved her. So, and she was a great brood mare, leaving four stakes winners. And we just found out during the week that her Group 2 winning daughter, Into the Mist, was in foal to... I am invincible. So, the dynasty will keep going.
Oh, that's good news. And now to headquarters yesterday at Flemington and the win of Hortbury on her in the Group 2 Blazer Stakes. What a great turnaround of emotions for all of you. This filly's been knocking on the door for a while.
Oh, yeah, she's been an incredible filly. She's had 5 wins in 3 seconds. So she's getting a very good resume, but it's just that we've been very patient with her and that's been rewarded, and we still think there's a few better things to come, hopefully. So,
yeah, there were some great images posted of you shortly after the race looking pretty happy.
It was a bit of an emotional day, and the fact that it was always Pauline's favourite horse. When the horse was born, she told our friend and main owner and Gary Johnson that this horse is special, and we haven't had one this nice since Rinky Dink. So, and Gary came along and said to us, well, she's up good, why are we selling it? So so we decided to keep it and race it with another good friend in Stevie Gardner from Western Australia and Senator Chris Waller. And, you know, she's just starting to string the wins together, and we think, you know, there's a brilliant future ahead with the racing, but also we'd love to have her back here at Three Bridges as part of the Broodmare band as well.
Yeah. I'm sure that buoyed the spirits of your wife, Pauline, of course, who's coming back from a very serious injury she sustained in an accident on the farm. That would have made her very happy yesterday.
Yeah, well, her and Yana were home, obviously, because of the falling down and the busy season we have. But I think we went through a few packets of tissues, and it was a really emotional win with all that's been happening in all our lives lately. So it was great, and great ride, and great training effort by Chris Waller, who just had one of those days that he'll probably never forget either.
Yeah, just an amazing effort by Chris across the two states in particular. He is some trainer. So what's the likely plan then with Hortbury on her beyond yesterday?
Initially it was just going to be her last run this time in, so we'll just wait and see. We've just had bit of trouble with her since she's been racing in Melbourne, getting on the wrong leg. But the Michael Walker did a fantastic job yesterday, and she showed us what she can do once she gets on the right leg. There's a few options coming up, but we'll just leave that to Chris, and he'll make all the decisions, and we'll be happy to go along with whatever he decides.
And how's your health tracking along, Peter? I know you're really looking after yourself these days, and probably running the Melbourne Cup with the miles you're covering on your morning walks these days.
I think I'm aiming more at the Magic Millions at this stage. But no, I had some scans last week, and I get the results of them on Tuesday. So hopefully the good luck from Hortbury on her keeps the ball rolling in our court.
Yeah, well, days like yesterday, Peter, are good for anyone's health, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And it was an amazing friends and all the lovely messages we got from, you know, all around Australia, and there's quite a few overseas. I must mention Paul Willetts in this story, that he picked the mare out like he does with all our mares, and he's actually in England at the moment at the Tattle for Sale looking for horses. And, you know, he's an integral part of our set-up here at Three Bridges. And this, you had an interview with Toby earlier in there. This is the mare that, when we bought the mare, Toby and Paul went $90,000 over budget, and I hit the roof. So I said to Toby yesterday, mightn't have been that bad of an idea, but so I've forgiven him now.
I'm sure you have.
Yeah, so, it was a funny time. So we did have a great day yesterday, and the VRC were very great. And we took a lot of our friends back to the Chairman's Club and had a great day.
Oh, lovely. That's great to hear. Peter, well done, and enjoy the journey with Hortbury on her. We'll look forward to seeing her next preparation, and good luck for the rest of the spring with the progeny you'll have, no doubt, racing all over the place and some of the horses you're also invested in.
Thanks, Joe. And your show's part of the scene now where everyone listens to it, and you're doing a great job. And thanks.
Oh, thanks very much.
Give us a call.
No problem at all. Peter Liston, it's always a pleasure to have him on Talking Horses, and he joins us this morning celebrating the win of Hortbury on her in yesterday's Group 2 Blazer Stakes at Flemington.
And that's all we've got time for on a busy edition of Talking Horses. Hope you enjoyed the program. Special thanks to our guests this week from New Zealand, David Ellis and Mark Chittick. We also had Aquas Farm CEO Shane McGrath joining us to discuss the news of Pierrada, the current Everest favourite that will be joining their roster in 2020. Plus Peter Liston from Three Bridges Farm. What a great day at Flemington for the Liston family. And also Seamus Mills joined us for his valuable insider insights. Until next time, take care. Bye for now.